The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We are back. Second hour is live, and it's been a busy one already. We just got through chatting with Scotty Walden, the head coach at Austin Peay, about to start their season. They'll play a seven-game conference schedule, and then the playoffs, and then they'll play again in the fall. They'll be at Ole Miss during the second week of the year. Tony Barnhart started it off for us. We'll talk a little basketball in the next 30 minutes with Tim Doyle of CBS Sports. Field Yates from ESPN, one of their NFL gurus, will join us. And in the final hour, Pat Smith, one of the creators, the creator of the Feinbaum radio show, which led into this program that you're watching and listening to right now. 855-242-7285. That is our number. And Avery is in Georgia. Avery, thank you. Good afternoon to you.
Hello. I got a few questions.
Okay.
First of all, how do you think Georgia will do?
I think Georgia will I think they'll do as well as undefeated in the regular season or 11-1. They have I like them to beat Clemson right now, but that's a pretty treacherous game on the road. Well, it's not on the road. It's in Charlotte, but it's pretty much on the road.
Yeah. And how do you think Alabama will do without Mac Jones and all their best receivers?
Yeah, I think Alabama could lose a game or two. I know that sounds blasphemous, but I think this Alabama team, at Texas A&M, that's a dangerous game. At Auburn, LSU, some of it at Florida, I just noticed that. So there's a game or two there they could possibly lose. But I still expect Alabama and Georgia to meet for the SEC title.
Yeah. All right, that's all I wanted to ask you. Thank you.
Well, you take care of yourself. Thank you very much for the call. Mike is up next in California. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. Sorry for the phone trouble earlier.
That's okay.
I really appreciate your show. I wanted to know, do you think college football, I think the SEC will be around in 15 or 20 years, but, depending on, we talked about Larry Scott or the Pac-12 guy, I think the Pac-12 will dissolve within 10, 15 years, maybe even sooner. And I'm wondering if you think there'll be some kind of like semi-pro like USC would almost just be, legitimately paying players and having some sort of amateur league, and other colleges would be involved in that. Do you see that happening, based on some of the events of the last year and how there seems to be a lot of agitation towards these events? Do you think that it would even affect the SEC in the future, or just lesser conferences?
Mike, the only thing I think that's possible is more of the super conference. And it's not like we're not there already with 14 in the SEC. The Big Ten is at the same number. The ACC is very large, especially in basketball. I think it's possible you could see maybe one league go and everyone else, either the Pac-12 or the Big 12 merge into other leagues. That's possible. It may not be as likely as it once was because these television contracts are so far in the distant future. But I don't think much will change other than an expanded playoff.
Okay, that's interesting. We have talked about John Robinson in the past. He was at USC, jumped to the Rams, went to USC, and then had as good of a run at UNLV as anyone has had in recent years. But with their new stadium, I guess they're playing at the Raiders Stadium, and they may have fans. What do you think a program like UNLV can do besides some kind of enticements to get players to play there? I'm not saying really pay the players, but I mean, they've gotten in trouble for stuff like that and never really gone.
Yeah, but Mike, I think sometimes environment matters. I mean, Vegas is a very hot town right now, as you know, and the NFL is a big part of that. But so that will help. I think, you know, basketball, it's always been an oasis, going back to Tark's days there. But, Musselman was there. Was he at Vegas or Reno? I can't remember. I think it was Reno. But anyway, football-wise, I think it can become much bigger than it is. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's go to Mason, who is in New York. Mason, how are you?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, Paul, I just wanted to talk about the baseball season, actually starting tomorrow. I know Florida is the projected winner on the SEC coaches poll, but I think people are kind of disregarding the Ole Miss team and the tear that they went on last year. I think only losing one game. They got an excellent pitching staff with Nick Casey and Gunnar Hoglund, and they only lost, I believe, Severino and Tyler Keenan. So what do you think the chances are of Ole Miss winning the SEC?
I like Ole Miss. I think I've been to games there. It's a phenomenal baseball environment, and I feel like you don't have to win the SEC to matter in college baseball because the SEC is so deep. A college baseball season begins today. Should have already, in some places, it's already begun, and Florida would be playing right now had it not been for rain. So let's get back to the calls, and Aaron is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Aaron. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, brother?
We are great. Thank you.
Good. I had a question real quick about the fall extra year for the athletes. I had heard something on the radio, it may have been 2 days ago, that basketball does get an extra year as well as the football athletes. Is that correct?
I believe it is. I believe everyone got an extra year.
So, hypothetically, because I'm thinking of the Arkansas women. Right now, they've got three graduate seniors and one senior. If they wanted to return that team, hypothetically, they could. Is that correct?
Now, I'm trying to think because I just have to remember when it went into effect. I'm not sure. I think this because I'm struggling here because the basketball season last year was almost complete. I think they got this year additional, not next year.
Oh, I see. So it's not one of those things where they get an additional year.
I think baseball this year was additional, and I think football is additional. Let me double check on basketball. I really, it may be. I just, that's the one thing I'm not sure about because of the season change.
That's all right.
Or the semester change.
I just wanted to say one more thing. Enjoy your show. It's a good season to be an Arkansas basketball fan. Kind of sad that the game got canceled tomorrow, but I can't wait to see them play Bama next week.
Yeah, I have always been an Arkansas fan, growing up across the river and watching the great teams that Nolan had, and even going back to Eddie Sutton. But this is one of the most exciting teams I've seen there in a long time. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with, who is that? Mac in Columbia. Hello, Mac.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great, Mac.
So I was just curious to know what you thought about Gamecock football coming up this fall. I was wondering what you thought the expectations should be as a fan, even though we lost a couple of recruits and stuff like that. What with the first season under Shane Beamer, I want to know what you thought the expectations should be.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should be pretty tame, to be blunt. And we'll look at the schedule in a second because that's really the best way of analyzing it. You got Clemson on there, so that's always a struggle.
Right.
I think the other games are manageable. Eastern Illinois, East Carolina, and Troy. I mean, those are not pushovers, but I would say you're going to win three games there. I'm looking for another win, and Vanderbilt 4. I do not see a bowl game. That would be my snapshot judgment without giving it much thought.
Well, yeah, I'd probably have to agree with you there, but maybe a couple sneak wins in there somewhere, like Georgia or Tennessee.
Well, I mean, Mac, please, why would you think you're going to win at Georgia?
Well, we did it a couple years ago.
No, you cannot use that. I mean, you're not arguing in front of the Supreme Court here, and you're listing a precedent. That was very fluky, okay? And I don't see that happening again with this Georgia team.
Well, you never know, Paul. I just
I think you do know, Mac. I'd be more than happy to bet a soft drink or a beer on that game if you want to go ahead and make the first bet of the season right now.
How about Clemson? I'll bet we beat Clemson. I'll bet you here we beat.
Okay,
Clemson.
I'm gonna double down and make it a six pack. Okay.
Sounds good, Paul.
Hey, thank you for the call. That's what I love.
Hey, thank you, man. Really enjoy your show.
You got it. A Gamecock fan, I mean, I realize the Gamecocks usually manage a weird win every year. This year it was Auburn, last year it was Georgia, but you know, to say that you're going to beat either Georgia or Clemson, that is a heavy dose of Beamer ball there. Hey, we'll take a break. More to come. 855-242-7285. Many guests will start popping back in here. We've already had two on a Friday afternoon, and we have many more. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back here. Friday afternoon, and Evan is up next in Charlotte. Hey, Evan.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thanks, Evan.
Yeah, so I just wanted to call in and chime in on Mac, who you just had on before the break, and say that I would love to get in on that bet with you, if possible, because I think there is no way we even keep it competitive with Georgia or Clemson this year, unfortunately, as hard as that is to say. I just think it's such an odd year to have a first-year coach, and I know that was obviously considered when they brought him in, but with COVID and everything, you can't even hit the recruiting trail hardly, and just, you know, things are going to be tough this year.
Yeah, and I agree. You're at such a disadvantage, and you inherited a program that I wouldn't say it's been gutted, but it's certainly been it's had a couple of pretty good punches, and your name is not going to win football games. You have to out recruit people and out scheme them, and I don't see that happening against what will be the number one team in the country and probably the number three or four team in the country.
Right. And another point I'd like to make is just that Auburn game last year and the 19 game against Georgia, obviously great wins, but I mean, Jake Fromm was the MVP of that Georgia game for us. That game was that meme of Spider-Man where he's pointing at himself. That was basically that game in a picture. That was not a great game by any means. And the same thing with Bo Nix last year in Auburn. He threw three interceptions, and basically we win the game because of Bo Nix. Same thing, Jake Fromm 2019. It's just tough, but I'd like to say I see 4-8 at best this year. Maybe 5-7. We squeak out a win over Mizzou or Tennessee. I think we beat the three non-conference aside from Clemson, and I think we beat Vandy. We beat them 11 years in a row through Spurrier, through the interim year of 2015. It was the first game after Spurrier left was actually Vandy, and we beat them. And then Muschamp never lost to them. But I see 4-8, maybe 5-7. And then really the class of 2022, really, I think, basically is going to be Beamer's first true recruiting class. Hopefully COVID is not as big a thing at that point, and you can get out and actually do home visits, go see guys. So I trust him. I think he's going to get it together and get us moving in the right direction. I think we just got to give him some time and be realistic for this year. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much, and I totally agree with your analysis. Hayden is in Texas, and you are on the air. Hey, Hayden.
Hey, Mr. Feinblatt. How are you doing?
Hayden, we're doing great.
I just wanted to ask about, you know, Auburn's football for this year, because, you know, they're having a new head coach, and the way I see it is, like, it's kind of like how Texas brought in Charlie Strong, and we saw those 3 years went. So I was just wondering, like, what is your per se on Auburn for the next couple of years, the new head coach?
I feel pretty good. I think it was not a program that was seriously flawed. It just had I think it had just gotten stale, and Malzahn was under so much pressure that I think ultimately it affected the product on the field. I think Harsin has brought in a completely different mindset. I think he has a very good staff. It's a matter of getting enough players in there. You know, this year's recruiting class was subpar by Auburn standards. But when you look at the schedule, there are always three or four games in the SEC that are tweeners. So, you know, I don't see them winning at Penn State in the third game, but I see them winning the other three non-conference games. I see LSU and Georgia being losses. Arkansas is a 50-50 proposition. And then in A&M, I mean, let's see, one, two. I mean, I think getting to 500, maybe a little bit above, maybe seven wins seems realistic. I don't see a great season, though, but that shouldn't surprise anyone. This Auburn team is going to be down a little bit from where it's been. Not this year, but in previous years. Mike is up next in Kentucky.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there, Mike. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, sure enough. I know I'm up against the bottom of the hour. The last half hour, you mentioned Fly Williams.
Oh, yes.
And that's probably a name that a lot of people don't relate to, but I actually saw him play basketball. And that dude was a baller. He led the nation in scoring. And the old facility there at Austin Peay used to be called the Barn. Do you remember that?
I do, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but the motto was, the fly is open, let's go pee?
Yeah, and the fans used to bring fly swatters from opposing teams in an effort to try and intimidate him, but I'll tell you, that guy was light years ahead. The man can move with the ball, he could score, and a lot of times he just took over games.
Yeah, no, I do remember
him. It's interesting you mentioned that because, you know, you brought back some of the past, and I watch your show every day, and I enjoy the nostalgic part of it.
Well, Mike, I appreciate that, and I think a lot of people, if you're a young person, you may not appreciate nostalgia as much as those of us. I didn't appreciate it when I was young.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know what I had in my hands. Of course, I played football in high school, and a knee injury took care of that. So I relied on other people to entertain me, and Fly Williams was definitely an entertainer.
Well, thank you, Mike, and it was nice of you to hear, nice of you to call. Let's move on to Mark, who is up next in Alabama. Hey, Mark.
How you doing, Paul?
Mark, we are doing great.
Well, good. And the question I have is about Alabama basketball now. We know we can shoot three-pointers. that's a given, but if we don't, it seems like our offense is just stunted. So if Petty is having a bad day, Broner not playing, I mean, what's our chances really in the big scheme of things?
Well, Mark, everyone has similar issues in the NCAA tournament, and you know what you want to do. Guard play is critical, free throws essential. And obviously a team like Alabama that shoots, that lives on the three, you don't want a cold night. Yeah, and we've seen that a couple of times lately. I think we saw it against Oklahoma. The one thing I will say about though about Alabama, again, I think it's against Oklahoma and Missouri, that it has a great propensity to come back from the dead, and that will be important because NCAA tournament games are high pressured. They're games that you're playing teams which you are not familiar with their styles, and if you catch the wrong one, especially early on, I mean, once you get to the later rounds, you're going to see a really good team, if not a great team, if you get Zaga or Baylor or maybe Michigan or Ohio State. But those early games are the ones that will scare you. Remember the Auburn team that went to the Final Four? It should have lost the first game in the tournament against, I don't know, Weber State or somebody. I mean, it was just it took a miracle to win that game, because a lot of schools just, you know, there is virtually no atmosphere, which players should be used to by the time we get to the tournament after the COVID year. But the stage gets very big.
Yeah, and last, and I'll get off here. What do you think John Petty's future looks like? I got to watch him as a high school basketball coach. I got to watch him in regionals for 4 years and state in 4 years. Was pretty amazing. What do you think his chances are in the NBA?
I think they're decent. You probably could do a better analysis than me as a layperson, but I think he's got the desire and the game. The NBA is a whole different animal, of course, but I think he's got a realistic shot. I appreciate your call very, very much. And Charles is up next in Marietta, Georgia. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Paul. Look, I used to come through Birmingham on business back in the 90s, mid-90s, and I always, somewhere around Pell City, I would tune in your show, and then I would lose you before I got to Tuscaloosa, and I always enjoyed it.
Yeah, we were we had a station there that, I'll tell you, it depends on which one you were talking about, but we one of the stations, my mother and father-in-law lived about 2 miles from the radio station, and the first signal we were on, they could not hear the show. This is AM radio, by the way.
Yeah, I think it was 960 AM.
Yeah, that was a news talk station, and we followed Rush Limbaugh, and most places you could hear us, but there were pockets in town. I mean, AM radio was directional. And it's not like FM, and but it was we had a great run there. We were there 13 years.
Yeah, I always enjoyed you, and I just wanted to let you know I started at the University of Alabama in 1960, and I got a BS degree in engineering in 1964. So I was there during some good years.
You really were. I imagine you and Joe Namath used to hang out, right, Charles?
I knew Joe. I would see him in the cafeteria there on University Boulevard. We always spoke to each other and talked, but I wasn't a closest friend of his. We were just casual acquaintances.
Well, Charles, if I ever go back to college through a time tunnel, I want to be Joe Namath's best friend at Alabama.
That's right. Yeah, he was a good one to have as a friend. He always was. Well, that's all I wanted. I just wanted to speak to you. I've never talked to you before.
Well, thank you.
I always listen, and I always enjoy your show.
Charles, that means a great deal. Thank you. You be well. We'll take a break. Speaking of nostalgia, we'll go back to the very beginning of this program in our final hour. More of your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. And Tim Doyle, outstanding basketball analyst, he'll join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. Really looking forward to chatting with Tim Doyle, who, of course, was a great player at Northwestern and now is a commentator for CBS Sports and NBA TV. And we thought we would get some expertise on what is ahead here in the college basketball season. Tim, thanks so much. We really appreciate you making time for us. I know you do a lot of work, so it's great to have you on.
Yeah, like I said in my tweet, right? Long-time listener, first-time guest, Paul, so I'm really excited myself.
Well, that is well, we don't we've clearly made a mistake in making you a first-time guest. we hope it's second time soon. Well, first of all, I've heard so much about you. You made one of the more interesting transitions from sports to broadcasting I have witnessed. I'm just curious about your approach when you were leaving athletics. I know you grew up in New York and you know, were a big fan of this medium, but how did it happen so well?
You know, it's pretty amazing. As you know, timing is so important in the broadcasting game, and going to Northwestern certainly has the reputation of being an outstanding broadcasting school, but I was just holding on for dear life there, Paul, just trying to stay eligible because classes there were really tough. And the timing that worked out was when I graduated in 2007, the Big Ten Network, right? Now you got the SEC Network, and now you have, you know, conferences that are building. And I remember working there being like, who's going to watch just these conference-specific sports? Like, is this really – shows what an idiot I was. Like, it absolutely changed the landscape of college athletics. You know, ever since I graduated, the Big Ten's added more schools. Conferences are expanding left and right. So I was pretty narrow-minded, but it gave me an opportunity to get my feet wet. I kind of launched myself right into a national scene, not only covering basketball, but football as well. And maybe I learned some lessons the hard way when you work for a conference. You know, I'm a New Yorker. I shoot for the hips at times. As I've gotten older, let's just say I've gotten smarter too.
Well, Tim, if this interview ever replays again, we will excise that reference to the Big Ten Network being the first to ever launch, because we don't officially recognize that here at the SEC. But it is an amazing. I happen to know some of the, I did an event a couple of years ago in Ohio in Columbus with Dave Resnick, and we had a great time. The Big Ten SEC back then, it was really on. That was right after Ohio State had beaten Alabama, and no offense to the Big Ten, but it just seemed like, at least in football, there was a rivalry. That is somewhat expired. But I do think those of us down here who think we have pretty good basketball are a little concerned about what's happening in the Big Ten. You have two of the best teams in the country, and that's just Illinois, of course, right behind Michigan and Ohio State. What is that league like this year?
Yeah, there's tremendous depth to it. But I think you can really build a strong case for the SEC this year. You know, interesting enough, I called that wild game when Alabama only had three players and Colin Sexton cut a 15-point deficit to a three-point game with that Crimson Tide. I called that game in Brooklyn. It was one of the wildest sporting events I've ever been a part of. But why do I say that? Well, who was on that team? Herb Jones was on that team. John Petty was on that team, and when I watched those guys, I knew they had immense talent. I love Alabama. I really feel like they could be a Final Four team because those guys are experienced. And, Paul, the one word that you mentioned over and over again when I talk to coaches is that word experience. Illinois has got experience. They got two pros in Io DeSumo and Kofi Coburn. Iowa has Luca Garza, who's like 150 years old. He's still running around Iowa City giving you 20 and 10. And Michigan, got to be totally transparent, didn't know if Juwan Howard was the right hire. He did some great jobs hiring a guy like Phil Martelli, who was the old St. Joe's coach. He really hired a great staff, and they're rolling right now. We expected Wisconsin here in the Midwest because of the experience to maybe be the best team out there. I think you can build a lot of cases, but I'm really high on Alabama. Great mix of talent and experience, and I think when it's all said and done, because the season has been so many stop and start, that teams with experience, and we all know backcourts, but experience is who's going to win in March.
And I want to stay on that because, you know, we have Alabama fans calling in here all the time, and they're nervous. They've seen a couple of bad outings. Oklahoma, they fell way behind. Missouri, but you know, in both games, they did have a phenomenal comeback. But in the NCAA tournament, what are the keys? And does Alabama's, you know, heavily reliance on 3 points help them in that regard?
Well, you know, I watched that Oklahoma game really closely, and I was actually impressed with their loss. And maybe I'm going to feed the fire here in Tuscaloosa, but I thought it was 8-on-5. I thought they really suffered for some really tough calls against Oklahoma. And they fell behind, and I was like, all right, let's see how they respond. Like, I remember being like, all right, their backs are up against the wall. They were down by, I think it was 8 or 9. And then they closed the gap to one possession. I was like, I like that. I like a team that, yeah, things didn't go their way, and they weren't making any shots, and Petty was in foul trouble. And then they still had the wherewithal to get back in the game. I was like, all right, you showed me something there. Of course, it's college basketball. You're going to lose some games throughout the year if your name's not Baylor and Gonzaga. But let me say this. Nobody is beating Gonzaga this year. The only team that maybe has a chance is Baylor. And if they play 10 times, I think Gonzaga could beat them 9 and would beat them 9, maybe 9.5. But a team like Alabama on the right day, I think they could beat Baylor. I think maybe an Illinois or a Michigan on their best day could beat Baylor, but no one this year is beating Gonzaga.
Yeah, that's interesting because we've had years like this, and only, 2 years ago when Duke was seemingly unbeatable with Zion, and they didn't even make it to the Final Four. What makes Gonzaga, I know this is an easy question, so unbeatable?
You know, it's interesting. They lost a lot of guys. You know, we didn't see them last year, and they were going to be the number one seed in last year's tournament. Here's what makes them unbeatable. They have pros. Very important win in March, right? Jalen Suggs is going to be a lottery pick. Corey Kispert, I believe, deserves to be a top 10 pick. And Drew Timmy is as good as you get as far as big man, old school fundamentals. And here's the X factor. They play like old men. There's an advantage to playing like an old man, having basketball IQ, having that basketball guile. I talked about experience. Virginia, traditionally the best defensive team in college basketball. Paul, they scored 100 on them. They actually embarrassed Virginia. I was watching the game, and it was like Braveheart. I was like, mercy, mercy. Like, they really smacked around the Cavaliers. And I think Virginia is, like, a solid team. I mean, heck, they're in first place in the ACC. And if you go back and break down the film of that game, they could have lost by 40 points. And for me, that was the moment where I went, whoa, like, this is a whole nother ball game. Because we all know that Tony Bennett's one of the best X and O coaches in the country. He gave up 100 points to Gonzaga. They weren't even close. I am so confident that Gonzaga is going to win the national championship this year. But if you want to lay down a wager, you have to be careful. Because the NCAA has said, if there's going to be some sort of COVID protocol or a COVID stoppage, we're moving on. So that is a giant risk if you're going to lay down your hard-earned money, because right now Gonzaga is the favorite to win a national championship, that if somehow, some way, they go into COVID protocol, they could be eliminated.
Yeah, no, that is why maybe I will bet the field here versus your absolute lock guarantee. Tim, it's almost become a perfunctory question every time we talk to someone with your expertise, but you know, being here in the South, we get fans, not as many as there were a couple weeks ago, who are besides themselves over Kentucky. I know maybe they're a little bit of a resurgence, winning a couple of games, but I mean, they are in dire straits. And I know there are other models like that around the country, especially in the ACC and elsewhere. But what do you make out of John Calipari this year?
You know, the Blue Bloods have all shifted towards one and done guys, right, Paul? I mean, that's just a fact. Like, they've gone out there and got the best talent. But this year, because of all the stoppages and, you know, living in a dorm and being isolated, I think this year having guys that are 4 years removed from eighth grade, I think is catching up to the Blue Bloods. Because go around the country right now, all the Blue Bloods are struggling, right? Kentucky's struggling, Duke's struggling, Carolina. Kansas is even hanging on, but they're not going to win the Big 12. And Paul, they win the Big 12 every single year. So I think that all these schools that have shifted their focus towards one-and-done guys, they're missing that key component of experience, because now you can rely on the guys that have been around the block. And when you have great leadership and guys that have been around the block, they pick the younger guys up. I look at a team like Loyola of Chicago. 3 years ago, they were the darling of the tournament. And right now, they're in a top 10 in the net rankings. If I'm Porter Moser, Paul, I am not going to the Missouri Valley Conference tournament. It's too big of a risk. You lose that game. And when they made that run to the Final Four, if they didn't win their conference tournament that year, we would have never heard of Sister Jean. My life would have been so much more worse if Sister Jean had not given me a novena at some point. Like, she's been amazing. She was a cherished, like, she was an American icon for, like, 3 weeks. And if they didn't win their conference tournament, we would have never heard of them. So, You know, I think that we need to see more mid-majors this year, more eyeball tests. And because the Blue Bloods are struggling, Loyola deserves to get in. And I'll give you another school that deserves to get in, and more than likely they wouldn't. Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky went to Alabama and beat the Crimson Tide on their home floor, and they have a first-round pick named Charles Bassey, who's an absolute monster. He's averaging 19 points, 11 rebounds. He's blocking four shots, and, like, no one wants to play them. So I want more eyeball tests this year in the tournament, but I think it's all kind of by the wayside because there is a clear-cut favorite, and they reside in Spokane, Washington.
Tim Doyle joining us from CBS Sports. Tim, I can't thank you enough. This is I could just sit back and listen to you all day. Thank you for coming on, and we deeply appreciate it. And we can get networks talking to each other off the air and get you back on here again sometime. We really thank you for coming on.
Paul, this was a dream come true. Now I could start my happy hour. All right, I basically waited to do the show. All right, it's Friday. I'm going to go enjoy myself.
It's only 4 o'clock in 3:45 in Chicago. You guys start early there, but again, I knew that. Hey, Tim, thank you very much. A pleasure.
See you. Thanks, Paul.
Pleasure. Tim Doyle joining us from CBS Sports. What a fun interview that was. We'll take a break. A lot more to do on our Friday afternoon. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
And back here at the end of the second hour, Zach is up next in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Zach.
Paul, what's up, buddy?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I'm always good to talk to you. But I wanted to ask you, what do you think is necessary for Clemson football to do next year to kind of rebuild their team? You know, the only exposure they have offensively is DJ, whatever his name is. So what do you think they have to do to, you know, rebuild the team?
Well, I think Unga Lele is the I used to know how to say his name, too. I think he's the key to the team. You know, he's a great talent. We saw a little bit of him last year. And it's really a matter of, I mean, I don't know. I don't have their roster in my head like I would during the season. But yeah, their schedule is more interesting this year because of Georgia having to deal with them in the first game. But I think they'll be a playoff team, and I think they'll be a major contender.
I'm not a big, Clemson guy. I'm an Ohio State fan, so, you know, that tells you what I think about Clemson. But I just want to get your opinion on that.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Zach. I would not rule them out. Hey, thanks. Good to have you on. Buddy is in Gainesville, and Buddy, go right ahead.
Hey, buddy, I'm telling you, right here from the lovely Alachua County, but I'm telling you, Paul, I'm calling you about the Duval County and your big friend, Tim Tebow. And I want to know, did he retire from baseball because he's about to go play for his boy Urban Meyer and be that next little dual threat guy in Jacksonville? What do you got?
Well, I think he retired. I think he retired from baseball.
Get up, man.
I don't think he's going to play the NFL. I will be pretty clear about that. I don't think that's in the cards.
You don't think he's a Taysom Hill of Jacksonville?
Maybe a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think he's a big dude, man.
I'm aware of that.
All right. Well, Paul, I had to ask. You're the man in the know. You know them all.
Now, buddy, I do think there is a at some point maybe he'd consider working for Urban. But, you know, I think if Tebow had done the Taysom Hill routine 4 or 5 years ago, I think he would still be in the NFL. He chose to play baseball. But I would not totally rule out him being affiliated with the Jaguars. We'll take a break. 2 more hours to go. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.